Chapter 1. Now we're going to, essentially today, I need to set the framework. Today and next week we're going to talk about really the context to begin to dive into verse number 2. But I want to read just starting in verse number 1, and I'm going to read through verse number 12, which will be the first section. We're not going to cover all of it today, but I just sort of want to set the foundation. James 1, 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is as the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Starting in verse number 1, we see the introduction to the book. And the first thing we see is the name of the author, right? His name here is James. James. Now, interestingly, the transliteration, which means the Greek word sort of sounded out in English, you would pronounce this as Jacobus. It's I-A-J-O-B-U-S is how the word, the name in Greek is actually spelt. Jacobus. And you would naturally, if you're listening, would say, well, that sounds more like Jacob than it does James, right? And obviously, Jacob or Israel would be a common name for a Jewish man. It was a very common name. Also, this name was, in this time, translated as Joseph. One of the commentators that I read presumed that perhaps the King James translators were trying to pay homage to King James. Perhaps their bent towards selecting the name James was because of who was the king and was paying them and keeping them alive, right? So there's some interesting things there. It doesn't really bear any weight whatsoever. There's no real theological value around it, except that as we know, Greek names don't always translate directly into English. So, but the gentleman here is named James. Now, the spelling of the name is not necessarily the most intriguing or challenging part. The next question then is, who is James? Who is James? And for that, we're going to have to dig into the Gospels, and we're going to turn through quite a few pages, okay? Now, there are three or maybe four, depending on how you look at it, there are three or maybe four James mentioned in the New Testament. There are two James mentioned in as the 12 disciples, right? There are even two James there. So let's start with the first one we call James. And he's referred to as the major, or the older, is the way that they translate that. But James, the brother of John, turn with me to Matthew 4:21, and let's see this James, how he's introduced. And what we're trying to do is figure out who wrote this book. Which James are we talking about? Because it gives us a perspective, I believe. James 4:21, Jesus, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, meaning brothers here, familial, not spiritual, James, the son of Zebedee, or son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And of course, we see the response. So here we have James and John, right? The brothers, they are brothers, and they are the sons of Zebedee. This is the first James that is introduced to us. We see him mentioned as the brother of John in Mark 3:17 and again in Acts 1:3. So multiple times. Whenever you see in all four Gospels, right, the Synoptic Gospels, in all the Gospels, there's a listing of the 12 disciples. And in every single one of those listings, James and John are always mentioned together. They are sometimes in reverse order. And I think that there's something about that in the book of Acts where the order is reversed, where it's John first and then James. And John, I think that's an indication of John's sort of superiority or growth within the disciples. John was also one of the first three disciples killed or martyred. So there's some learnings there, I guess, about some of that. So we see who his father, James, the father, or who's James's father is here, Zebedee. Turn with me to Matthew 27:56. 27:56. And here we have a clue of who his mother was. Matthew 27:56. We're going to see a clue. It says, 27:56. So this is at the cross of Christ. They are watching from afar off. The centurion in verse 54 says, truly this was the Son of God. 55, and many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto them, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And this is where things start to get a little confusing, right? Because when we're talking about James, you want to read there that Mary was the mother of James, but this is a different James. The James that we're concerned about is the mother of Zebedee's children. And I think that they're using that phrase, the mother of Zebedee's children, to make the distinction between, you know, who they were, right? And then in Mark 15:40, we actually get the name of the mother here. So Mark 15:40. Looking at the same passage, now we're just looking at it through Mark's eyes and not Matthew's. And he says, there were also women looking on afar off, right? Very similar. Among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, the less. And here we start to clarify which James, you know, was related to Mary, and that's James the less. We're going to talk about him in a second. And of Joseph, or Jude, and Salome. And that Salome is the mother of the sons of Zebedee, or James and John. Okay, so the first James that we're considering, his father was Zebedee, and his mother was Salome, or Salome, however you pronounce that. And so there's a very clear distinction here. But as you can see, a lot of verses that contain one James also contain references to the other James. And therefore, it can become very confusing around which James it is that we're talking about. And sometimes, depending on kind of who you're reading and how they're interpreting it, there could be, you know, again, two or three or even four different people with the name James. It's very, very difficult. We do learn, though, that James, the brother of John, was martyred by Herod. Look with me at Acts chapter 12 and verse 2. And we're talking about, I know this is confusing, believe me, studying it was very confusing. Acts 12:2, and this is roughly, you know, like they're going to say AD 41, so the year 41. And it says in verse number, well, let's read verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, and it clarifies which James, the brother of John. So James, the brother of John, was killed in around, or was martyred in around 41 AD. Okay, 41 AD. And we know that we're going to talk about it later, but we know that this book of James was actually written between 44 and 49. So James, the brother of John, the son of Zebedee, one of the 12 disciples here, could not have been the author of the epistle, James, because of the time that he was martyred. And I believe the Holy Spirit puts a timestamp here and lets us know that this is not the James that we are talking about. Now, James, the brother of John, the son of Zebedee, there is not a lot. I mean, he's mentioned many times in a lot of lists, but there aren't a lot of direct, there's not a lot of direct interaction or knowledge of who he was as one of the 12. It caused me to actually think during the week, there's a lot we know about the 12, but when you really think about it, there's also a lot we don't know about the 12. And it's an interesting thing to consider the names of all of the 12. I did a little exercise and I listed six. Like off the top of my head, I was like, six. And then you go, wait, was this one a disciple? You know, it's like, it's interesting. So we're going to actually look at a little bit of that. All right, the second James that we come across is James, the son of Alphaeus. Now, we're going to look at the list. Look at Matthew chapter 10, Matthew 10 and verse number 3. Matthew 10, 3. This is the second James that it could possibly be. We'll start in verse 2. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, which we just looked at, and John. Notice that order, James and then John. Okay. Number 3, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican or the tax collector. And here we have the second James, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So here we have the second James, James the son of Alphaeus. He's listed here in the beginning of Christ's ministry, and then if you turn with me to Acts 1:13, I know I'm having you turn a lot, but it's easier for you to read it than for me to try and explain it. James or Acts 1:13, he says, and when they came, they went in up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, and then James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. There's a lot of James mentioned that make you really start to scratch your head and say, which James is it that we're talking about, right? And so here in verse 13, you have the mention of two James, James the son of Zebedee, which we talked about, and the second one here is James the son of Alphaeus, and he's most commonly referred to as the son of Alphaeus because of the, I think he's trying to clarify exactly which James we're talking about. And you see here that they give some information that says that Judas, not Judas Iscariot, okay, because this is after Judas Iscariot has already committed suicide. So the other Judas is the brother of James. And this James here would be the son of Alphaeus. So James' brother was also there. Okay, so you had James and John, which were sons of Zebedee. And then you had James and Judas, which were the sons of Alphaeus, both disciples. Oh, no.
Which one is the less?
We're not to the less yet. I don't believe so. I don't think so. I feel the same way. I'm going to try and make this clear, but there's a lot of discussion about, or there's a lot of just questions about which one. So there's James the Major, which is the son of Zebedee, brother of John, right? More of a major figure. Then you have James the son of Alphaeus, which I believe was sort of a minor role. James the son of Alphaeus may have been referred to as James the Less. I don't believe so, but he could have been. Some people say it could be the same person or it could be a different person. I don't really know. But the third figure is James, who I believe wrote this epistle. Okay, so trying to get to that. And so let's look at this. And we see in Mark 6:3 sort of the introduction of James, the author of the epistle. Mark 6:3. I know this is confusing. Mark 6:3. And the Pharisees, right, encounter Jesus. Look at just verse 1 here. He says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country." So he's coming now. Jesus is in his ministry. He's coming into his own area where he lived, his own neighborhood, I guess. "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?'" Verse 3, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" And so obviously they're clarifying, right? Isn't this Joseph's son? He should just be a man who works with his hands. Where is he getting this knowledge to teach out of the scripture? And then he clarify further, "the son of Mary." And then we have the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon. "And are not his sisters here with us?" Now this verse obviously is a proof text, right, for the argument against the I forget what they call it, but the eternal or perpetual, what is it called? Yes. Well, the ever virgin. Yes, yes, yeah. So the fact that Mary remained a virgin for her whole life, right? This verse clearly indicates that that's not the fact, right? That Mary indeed had more children. There are four brothers, and there's a mention of sisters, right? So Mary would have had six kids at least, right? In addition to Jesus, making sort of the case there. Sometimes you talk about that perhaps with the Catholics or something like that. This is a verse that proves that. But we have here the introduction of James, the brother of Christ. Okay, so James was a what is commonly referred to as a half brother of Christ, right? Because Joseph was not the father of Jesus; his adopted father or stepfather, as we would call it today. So James would be a half brother. I'm just going to call him the brother of Christ, but understand that to be technically correct, he would be the half brother of Christ. Okay, here we have the introduction. Look at Mark 15:40 with me. Mark 15:40. Mark 15:40. We have another verse. And we looked at this earlier, but here it is again. "And there were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene." And then here we have Mary, the mother of James the Less, the brother. So maybe I misspoke earlier about Thaddeus or Alphaeus. But here we have James clarifying James, the brother of Christ, also the son of Mary. Okay? Oh, man. I was really trying hard, and I know I've confused you guys so much. I'm sorry. Let's. I'm just going to keep plowing ahead because I don't know. There's no going back on this. Okay, look at John, look at John chapter 7. Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 5. And we have commentary by Christ himself about his brothers. This is for let's just look in verse number 4. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And then look at verse number 5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. And again, this term here is the familial. Right? So what the commentary is here is that there was a phase, or in the beginning of Christ's ministry, that his brothers, including James, didn't believe that he was the Messiah. Right? And there were events, obviously, that were unfolding in front of them. Perhaps, it was hard to comprehend that the boy that you grew up with was the Messiah, right? I'm sure there's a lot to try and process. They were obviously being told and hearing lots of other things from lots of other people. We think that from history that Joseph didn't live long into Jesus' life, so perhaps Joseph missing sort of a fatherly figure, there wasn't that. And also we know that James was clearly a younger brother of Jesus, and so sometimes those relations are maybe more skeptical, or I don't know. There's all sorts of sort of brotherly things to try and deal with, but we know from Scripture that James did believe. And if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:7, we see a specific appearance. So at some point along the way here, James becomes a believer. And look at verse number 7. Jesus is, Paul here is talking about the people that Jesus presented himself to. And he says in verse number 7, after that, after he was seen among 500 brethren, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And at least what commentators say is they believe that this James is James the brother, and that this is an indication of James having now faith, right, after seeing him. At which point did the faith occur? Did it occur before Jesus came and saw James? Did Jesus, in this presentation of himself after the resurrection to his brother, was that a moment where James believed? Was there... you would imagine there'd be dialogue, right? I mean, Jesus was, in all of these cases, presenting himself, and he was talking to them, and he was interacting. So I believe that he, there was an interaction that occurred here. So Jesus, as a resurrected figure, appears to James, comes to James, and talks to him. Now, from that point forward, we see James taking a significant leadership role in the church, specifically the church at Jerusalem. For that, we look at Acts chapter 12, verse 17. Acts 12, 17. Acts 12, 17. And we have here showing James' role. But Peter continued knocking at the door, right? Peter's is released from prison miraculously. He goes to the door. You remember this. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James. Right? And now in Acts 12, 17, in Acts 15, 13, in Acts 21, in Galatians 1, 19, Galatians 2, 9, we see over and over again James being seen and recognized as a leader of the church at Jerusalem. He was a leader of the believers. Just look quickly with me, just flip the page to Acts 15. Acts 15 and verse 13. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, so Paul comes back and says, Paul is saved, converted, and he comes back and he says to the church at Jerusalem, these are the things that are occurring with among the Gentiles. And the person that responds to Paul's report, you would assume, has authority. Right? He's the one who's speaking back to them. Okay, and so James answers. And so this is James, the half-brother of Christ, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them. And he speaks now all the way through verse 21. And in this speaking, he has multiple Old Testament references, right? He's clearly someone who is learned about Old Testament and knowledgeable around the scriptures and clearly speaking with authority. Okay, so this is someone who is clearly taking an authority role in the church. Look at just quickly Galatians 1:19. Galatians 1:19. And Paul says, I went, I did these things, and then I went to Jerusalem. In verse 19, he says, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, this could be that Paul, maybe none of the other disciples were in Jerusalem at the time, but I think rather the interpretation should be that Paul felt it important that while he was in Jerusalem, he at least saw James. And that because of James' authority and leadership role, James would disperse whatever the message was to the rest of the believers, the rest of the disciples. And so Paul calls it out here. It's significant enough that Paul makes a visit, and it's also significant enough that Paul records it in Scripture. Right? So James here clearly has a significant role, and it further clarifies as the Lord's brother. Right? Paul is clearly saying here that this is James, the brother of Christ. Again, he mentions James in Galatians 2 and verse 9. 2:9, he says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars. Now, this phrase seemed to be, the word seemed, I think, in our vernacular, sort of, we would, I was going to use it, seems to mean, but it's more of like a insinuation, right? We use seem as like, it seemed like it was going to be warm today, right? Without proof. This is not the way that this word is used. Rather, Paul is using it as is known to be. Okay, I've witnessed it, and others have declared it. This is a known fact. Okay, that he is known to be a pillar. And what that word there means, right, is pillar. It's a foundation. It's one of the strong tenets. So he's talking about the church at Jerusalem, and he calls out these three men, clearly indicating that James was a leader. Look at verse number 12. For before that, certain came from James. So James not only is a pillar of the church, but James also is the one that is sending out men. Right? So James clearly has an authority role. Some have referred to him as the bishop, right, which is a biblical word, not necessarily a Catholic word, okay, but a bishop or an elder, pastor is what we would refer to him, of the Church of Jerusalem. Okay, we then know from history that this James was murdered or was martyred in AD 62, okay, so well after the book was written, so clearly making the case that he could have been the author. And I believe that this James, the brother of Christ, is in fact the author of the book of James, the one that we are talking about. Okay? He was, because of his leadership role, would have been in a position of authority to be able to write the things that he wrote in the epistle and others. So there's some other clues in this verse number one now of the timing of the writing of the letter, which he says in verse one, he says, I'm writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And I believe that this is a reference to a very specific incident. Now, the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So clearly he's writing to to Jews, right? He's writing to those brothers of Israel. When he says the 12 tribes, it was used as a common phrase in the day to sort of talk about them, right? So he's writing to Jews who have been dispersed. Now, I'm not going to turn there because of time, but we know from Acts chapter 12, which we read earlier, that Herod, in Acts 12, started a very systematic persecution of the church. He started by martyring Peter. He then martyred James, right? And he started going down through the list. And this led to a whole host of persecution for the church, specifically at Jerusalem. We also know that persecution of the church at Jerusalem was occurring when Stephen was stoned, right? Stephen was martyred. Paul was there. That's in Acts 7, so this is even earlier. But we know that the church at Jerusalem was being martyred, was being persecuted. And I believe that a majority of these folks were folks who at Pentecost were saved and had stayed in Jerusalem because of their newfound faith, and stayed there for a while, and then when the persecution came, they started to disperse, many going back to their own countries. If you turn just a couple of pages to 1 Peter, it's just the next book over, a couple of pages. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers, again, this is like a familial term or relational line, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, right? Peter here is writing to, again, the same audience, dispersed Jews who were in Jerusalem at that time. Now, why is this word important? Why is it important to understand that? Well, because James was the pastor of these folks. James loved these folks. James saw them being martyred, being punished, and they were being forced to leave. And so James, out of his pastor's heart, out of his love for these folks, wrote the epistle to give them instruction on how they should live, right, outside of the cocoon that had been created at Jerusalem, if that makes sense. So the timing of this would have been after that dispersion, but perhaps they were saying before the Jerusalem Council, because there was doctrine that was set at Jerusalem Council that would have dictated this. So the book was written around, between 44 and 49 AD. All right, so we're only approximately 10 or 11 years after the death of Christ, right, which would have been in 33 or 34. And so we're about 10 years after that. James writes this. This is also the first chronologically written New Testament book. So this is the first epistle to the New Testament church, which I think is interesting. Okay, there's a lot more that we're going to talk about. Next week we'll be starting to look at the themes of James. And I pray that it'll be less confusing than my explanation was. But I hope that at least we're settled on the idea that this is James, the brother of Jesus. As you can see, if you start researching all of the James, there's a lot of James names, okay?